This coming Shabbos, we're going to have the honor and privilege of reading from Parshas Vayera. And yes, those of you who are still on vacation, we hope you are enjoying a vacation. We are coming to you from Congregation Avas Torah here in Miami Beach. And we thank the wonderful Rabbi Newhouse for giving us the opportunity to learn Torah in his Beis HaMedrash, and for the wonderful people who allow us to record in the shul, a wonderful place to be with tremendous amounts of Torah. There is no vacation from Torah. And so the parsha begins with the expressions where Moshe Rabbeinu is visited by Hashem, and he says, Hashem tells Moshe that I am Hashem Yudke Vavke, and he says, Lachina mor livnei Yisrael ani Hashem, therefore tell bnei Yisrael I'm Hashem. Rav Aaron Cutley noted that based on the expansion of the psukim, it seems that the main purpose of the slavery and the redemption was so that we should know and accept that he is Hashem, and that he selected us through this process, going all the way up until and including Matan Torah. Rav Aaron explained that clarity and purpose sometimes comes through the adversity into getting to that purpose. That is to say, yediya sometimes requires us to be able to go through a process. Awareness is often achieved in measure to the suffering one experiences in learning the lessons. And hence the goal of recognizing our special relationship with Hashem and our achievement of that goal through Matan Torah as the end of the Shibud. We will never forget that. This might have some impact also, at least based on Rav Aaron's idea, to what is the connection to the Haftorah, but more about that a little bit later. Then we're told that God makes a number of promises. He uses five languages, four, V'hotzeiti, V'itzalti, V'ga'alti, V'lakachti, all reference the ideas that were going to happen now at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim. We're then told that Hivesi Eschem El Haaretz, that Hashem is going to bring us into the land. Now, there's a difference of opinion among the Tanaim as to whether we should have a fifth cup at the Seder in recognition of this additional language for Hivesi at the Seder. And Rosh Shechter Shlita explained, I think he was quoting the Netzivim Romi Sada, that since the Jewish people have been exiled from Eretz Yisrael, we don't drink this fifth cup. But when the final Geula arrives with the coming of Eliyahu HaNavi, then we will have a fifth cup. That's why that's the origin of calling this the cup of Elio, Koshel Elio. It's because at that point in time, things will be drunk. The late great Hungarian Poseg, the Rav Nassim Gestetner, the author of the series of Svarim Dor Revi, a tremendous individual, a huge Talmud Chacham out of Bnei Brak, he builds on this idea, and when he talks about Koshel Elio, and Ein Makom Laharich, but he certainly carries it into a certain understanding that there's a difference between somebody who has one cup and somebody who has four. The difference being that four is for four different stuff to manage symptoms. One, that's a cup that goes ahead and cures everything. And so maybe there will be a time in the Gula Ha'asida, says Rav Nosson Gestetner, where a person will have the opportunity, or the nation will have the opportunity, to just have one coast, and that will cure of everything, and that, Be'ezus Hashem, will happen when we get to the point of the Geula. Whatever it is, Moshe brought these words, but they so weren't able to hear because they were short of spirit and they had hard work. Now, what was missing from their emunah that created this inability to listen? So Rav Ruderman Zatzal, the great Rosh Hashiva of Nei Yisrael of Baltimore, explained that Paro only believed in an Elohim that the Zohar explains refers to Teva or nature. The word Elohim, the attribute of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is Elohim, refers to nature. When Moshe used a new attribute of Hashem, Havaya, Yudke Vavke, then Paro refused to recognize that name. And Rav Ruderman added that this was the issue here too. Paro had so broken the Jewish people, they could only consider Teva, and the idea of something and someone above its rules was beyond their comprehension due to their shallowness as a result of the hard work and broken spirit that they were working. So, of course, we interrupt the process where Hashem says to Moshe to go speak to Paro and tell him to tell Bnei Yisrael to get out of Egypt, where we go through all the genealogy in the parsha, and then we're told Moshe ben Shmonim Shana ve'Aaron ben Shalosh Shmonim Shana be'Dabram el Paro, that Moshe was 80 years old, Aaron was 83 when they spoke to Paro. Why do we need to know their ages specifically right now? And so the late great Rav Shimon Schwab Zatzal, the famous Rav of Kalas Yeshurun up in Washington Heights, explained that part of their message to Paro was that he thought he had control through his rules, but he didn't. They told him, remember, Paro, you're the one who commanded, Kol Abena Yelod Ayaora Tashlichu. And take a look at us. We're 80 years old. Moshe Rabbeinu is still alive. Aaron was born 3 years prior to that. And Paro had tried to have the babies murdered using Shifra and Pua, the midwives. Take a look at that decree. It was worth this. In the end, you have to remember, says Rav Shimon Schwab, this is the message that Moshe and Aaron were bringing forward. It's the decree of Hashem, and only the decree of Hashem, that has the ability to endure. So thereafter, we go through a series of the parsha where we start to talk about the osos and mosim, including the 10 makos. The second of which is the makah of Tzvardea, and when Moshe Rabbeinu goes to speak to Bnei Yisrael about the makah of Tzvardea, rather when he speaks to Paro, he tells Paro, Ve'alu vo ve'vesecho b'chadar mishkavcha ve'al mitasecha, u'beveisavadecha, they're going to come into your house and the house of your servants. Now Rashi notes that since Paro began the idea of the Shibud, he was to suffer his punishment first, before the rest of the nation. Rabbi Yerucham Levavitz, the late Mira Mashkiach, highlighted the major difference between Hashem's justice and that of a human being. That is to say, says Rabbi Yerucham, most human beings will forget about some small side issue in favor of the greater issues, but when it comes to Hashem, every single point makes a difference, including who suffers just a drop longer than whom else. Everything works when you're dealing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we get to the Makkah of Kinim, of course, the Chartum Eim Mitzrayim couldn't even support the Kinim, and so they declared to Paro, Etzba Elokim Hi. And instead, Vayechazak LeParo, Paro allowed his heart to get even stronger. Now, if he trusted them until this point, why doesn't Paro trust the Chartumim that the hand of Hashem is at work here? It's not as if his heart was being hardened against his will yet, right? So Rav Shimon Sofer, the Hazorus Tshuva, the Rav of Aroli, and the grandson of the late great Chasam Sofer, explained that Paro thought that they were just covering up for their own ineptitude, having come face to face with a better magician than Moshe. So in order to save themselves from embarrassment, he reasoned, they concocted the story of Etz Elokim, but actually that wasn't true. And so hence he didn't believe their rationalization, and he didn't accept it. And of course we go through Kinim, Arov, Dever, Shchin, and Barad. And at the end of the parsha, we finish with Barad. And Moshe Rabbeinu declares, Kitzesi esair efros es kapay el Hashem. When I leave the city, I'll throw my hands up to Hashem. Now it's fascinating that this time Moshe didn't need to leave Moshe Rabbeinu had to leave the city because of the Avodah Zarah there, as Rashi notes. But yet in the previous Makos, Moshe didn't. Why is there a change? Why is that supposed to make sense? So Ramosha Feinstein Zatzal explained that as opposed to previous misgivings, this time Paro turned towards tshuva. He even said, Hashem atzadik v'ani v'ami arishayim, that Hashem is right and that I was wrong. But Moshe wanted to clear and be very clear that this was only a turn, but that Paro was still very far from done with the tshuva process. He was still in the midst of settling and throughout with Avodah Zarah, he wasn't prepared to do anything about. And so he turns around and he says, I could say Sair to remind HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yeah, I'm still surrounded by Avodah Zarah over here. And we're told, V'yadu ki ani Hashem, they'll know that I'm Hashem. And Rav David Feinstein noted that this is the pasuk that highlights the connection to our parasha. This pasuk, V'yadu ki ani Hashem, states that when Hashem executes judgments, we'll know that he's also the Hashem of Rachamim. And the same was learned by Paro, who noted at the end of the parsha that Hashem HaTzadik, using the very name that he denied, and the name of Yudke Vavke, knowing who you're dealing with in the HaKadosh Baruch Hu sense over here, is major and critical. And knowing and understanding, that's one of the great lessons that Am Yisrael also is supposed to take, and we'll of course get it, no matter where we are, to appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to appreciate that which he does for us, and to bring it all forward and keep the faith until we get to the point that we too will get not only to the great Shabbos, but the greatest of all Shabbosos, Shabbat Shalom to all.